This podcast of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview is brought to you by Barbados Tourism. The AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview starts in just 15 seconds right after this word from our podcast sponsor.
If you've been waiting to discover that spot where peace of mind meets the time of your life, then it sounds like you've been waiting on Barbados. From the majesty of horse racing and polo to the thrill of surfing our playful waves, visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages.
This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Elite Power is still 8 lengths from the lead. They turn for home. Super Ocho with the lead. CZ Rocket to the inside. Jackie's Warrior to the outside. Elite Power has to go toward the center of the racetrack, but still fourth. Super Ocho, Jackie's Warrior, CZ Rocket. Manny Wall runs toward the rail. Elite Power from the outside. CZ Rocket, Elite Power coming on. Elite Power, Iran Ortiz Jr. to win the Qatar Racing Breeders' Cup Sprint by 2 lengths on the line. 1:09.11 seconds.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN, part of Rags to Riches Week, presented by Keelan Sales all week on the network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Dave Freeman, and of course, this is the Belmont Stakes edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. We've got a dozen races we're going to talk about tonight, Dave, and 9 of those 12 races are graded stakes tomorrow at Belmont Park.
Outside of the Breeders' Cup, Bobby, is this the best card from a talent and a depth standpoint that we have all year?
It's very close between the Kentucky Derby Day card and the Belmont Stakes card. I think you're getting, for the most part, the who's who in the thoroughbred racing world running all in the same locale on the same day, and we are going to have another fantastic card tomorrow at Belmont Park. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus just for HRRN listeners. Here's how. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win, a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in minutes. Once again, it's link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Dave, let's jump in with that big Belmont Park card tomorrow. The first of 9 graded stakes is race number 3. It's the grade 2 $250,000 True North for the 4-year-old and up sprinters. They're going 6.5 furlongs on the main track. Field of 6 coming together, including last year's Breeders' Cup sprint champ, Elite Power.
Really fun race. Not sure how good a betting race it is. There are two horses that are going to get a ton of play, and I would think you need to use both of them if you're playing any sort of horizontal wagers. Elite Power is 4-5 on the morning line. Has been off for 3.5 months since winning in Saudi Arabia. Obviously won the Breeders' Cup sprint last year, beating Jackie's Warrior, among others. Has won 6 straight races, and, I mean, what can you say? There are very few knocks. Is Elite Power going to be ready for the A effort off the long layoff? I don't know about that. Doesn't have an enormous fig edge, particularly against number 5 Strobe, who is the 2-1 second choice for Brad Cox and Godolphin. Strobe actually beat Elite Power in Strobe's very first race way back May of 2022. That was on the Derby undercard. Strobe was absolutely spectacular that day. Elite Power lost his first 3 races and then has won 6 straight since then. Strobe is 4-for-6 lifetime. First off a layoff in April at Oaklawn Park, ran in a grade 3 stakes, was not the favorite, and finished second but ran up against Skelly, who has just been incredibly good in recent races. Over the last four or five races, I think has won five in a row, and Tejano Twist was in there too, and Strobe beat Tejano Twist. I thought it was a pretty good effort. I didn't love it live. I had bet on Strobe. I didn't think it was great. I've gone back and watched it. Skelly is just running really, really well right now. The field was pretty good. I would need to use both of those. I don't think the other four horses in here are bad. Today's Flavor has run a couple of big races against Lesser, Synthesis, coming off a career best race, but can you expect a seven-year-old to repeat that? Anarchist has faced good, but I think best races have been on synthetic and turf, and I don't know about Fearless going the 6.5 furlong distance, but certainly has run some good races over the years. I picked Strobe, but I would need to use the two favorites.
Okay, first of all, our friends over at AmWager using form to win think that number three, Anarchist, is the best value play in the race. It doesn't necessarily mean that they picked Anarchist on top, but at 10-1 is close enough that is worth a play in the True North. I'm going to agree with you that Elite Power is not that much better, if any better, than one or two of the others in this race. And I think that Strobe is going to be in front of Elite Power most of the way. And I'm not sure if Elite Power is going to go by Strobe. So like you, I'm going to put Strobe on top. It's not an upset here when you're 2-1 on the morning line, but when you're facing a horse that easily won the Breeders' Cup Sprint and is easily coming off a win in a Grade 3 $1.5 million race in Saudi Arabia in his last start, and he's won six in a row, it would be it's certainly not the expected outcome. But like you, Dave, I think number five, Strobe, will win the True North tomorrow at Belmont Park. Fifth race on the card is the Grade 3 $200,000 Poker. Four-year-olds and up going 1 mile on the turf. We've got a field of seven coming together. Eight entered, one was main track only. And I'll tell you this, Dave, if number one Shea Pierre runs the same kind of race tomorrow that he did when beating Modern Games in the Maker's Mark Mile last time out, they're all running for second.
Yeah, I agree. I think Shea Pierre is quite good. I mean, the horse has won 6 out of 7, faced really, really strong competition last time, and didn't win. Blew him away at nearly 10-1. Now, two back at Tampa Bay ran against Emmanuel, who he faces again here, and Emmanuel won the race, and Emmanuel won the race rather easily, or at least beat Shea Pierre rather easily that day. So this is kind of their third straight race against each other, and they've each won one of them. But the last race for Shea Pierre is really, really good, and no one is going to beat him if he runs like that. I think Emmanuel kind of underneath is a horse I'm probably going to dabble with. Ran 3 weeks ago, a four-year-old, Todd Pletcher, getting better, I think. He has had a much better four-year-old campaign than he did a three-year-old campaign. I don't know about the distance, though, Bobby. This is a horse that we've seen win at 1 mile and 1/16, 1 mile and 40 yards, 1 mile and 1/8. I don't know about just the 8 furlongs in this one, but I think you have to kind of defend against Emmanuel a little bit. Philo Di Arellana, I'm probably going to either toss or use as kind of a tertiary pick. I don't know how much I trust the Woodbine form, but if you toss the last one on synthetic, boy, those turf races do look pretty good. And I haven't made a decision up on Emirati yet. 8-year-old for Chad Brown, Michael Dubb, and Matic Cat certainly has some races that would fit pretty well with this group. Ran a good one in the Grade 3 Bernard Baruch last time out. That was all the way back in September at Saratoga. But Shea Pierre is my top choice. I think he's far and away the most likely winner.
Yeah, I think it's low-hanging fruit, but I'm looking at just that last race. So he beats Modern Games, who, by the way, came back and won in his next start back over in Europe. And most people think Modern Games is the best miler that we've seen on the turf the last year and a half or so running in the big races in this country. Horse who was third in the race up to the mark might just be the best turf horse in this country right now, as he's just been a win machine other than when facing Shea Pierre in that Maker's Mark. Even money, I don't know if we can get even money on this horse, but he looks like the goods. I like him as well in the Grade 3 Poker. Sixth race at Belmont Park tomorrow is the Grade 2 Brooklyn, $250,000 for the four-year-olds and up, going the test of the champion distance of a mile and a half, and it's on the main track. We've got a field of 11 coming together in this race, Dave, and it's a lot of the horses who run against each other regularly in these extended marathon-type races.
Bobby, I've looked at this race three times. I looked at it when the PPs came out initially, kind of made some early notes, and then I went back and revised those notes. And then last night, I took kind of a much more detailed, close look at it. And if you looked at my past performances right under the number six, because it's the sixth race, I wrote skip. I got no clue. You can go a whole lot of different ways in here. My level of confidence is unbelievably small. Bright future for Todd Pletcher and Irad Ortiz seems to me to be a horse that's got a lot of potential, has only run four times. Three of those four have been really good, but this is an enormous step up, and stretching out from 4 mile races to a mile and a half. Number seven, Warrant, beat a whole bunch of these last time, but lost to a bunch of these two back. And both of those races were at a mile and a half. The good race, the win at Churchill, and the loss, the third place performance at Oaklawn Park. Number five, Next. If you toss out the last one, which was not a disaster at Churchill, but wasn't great, the previous two, the two that ended last year at Keeneland and at Delaware Park, were really good. A repeat of the race at Keeneland would certainly be good enough in here. But I ended up with old favorite Lone Rock, because in this field, I think there are eight wins at a mile and a half, and Lone Rock has five of them. The horses always bet, has lost to a bunch of these horses in back-to-back races, and maybe at 8 years old just isn't good anymore, but loves this distance, perfectly good at Belmont, always gets bet, tends to run against really high-end horses. I went with Lone Rock. There's a 6-to-1 price. I'm happy to take that. I have no idea.
Okay, so you wrote pass down for this race. I am going to guarantee you this, my friend. However much money you bet on this race will be more than I bet on this race. The only chance I'm playing this race is if I'm playing horizontal wagers, and I'm probably using four or five of them. I just for the sake of picking someone, because I'm kind of sick of everybody else in the race, I picked number four, Bright Future. I don't know if Bright Future can go a mile and a half. I know his races at a mile are certainly good enough to make him a player with these if they translate to him going a mile and a half. And, strangely enough, in a mile and a half race, it looks like there's plenty of pace in here for somebody to pass other runners and go on and win. And I think Bright Future could be that horse. I don't know. If he wins, I'm not sitting here and taking credit for it, because I don't love anybody. I barely like him, but he's certainly one of the ones I would use, and I think he's going to get the right trip. So Bright Future for me in the Grade 2 Brooklyn. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will stick with this monster card tomorrow at Belmont Park. You're listening to the Am Wager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is Rags to Riches Week on HRRN, presented by Keeneland Sales.
22 Keeneland Sales graduates have won the Belmont Stakes, with 11 since 2006, including undefeated Triple Crown winner Justify. Five Keeneland graduates are entered in this year's Test of the Champion.
Forte to win the FanDuel Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby.
Tap and Trice wins the Toyota Bluegrass.
And here is Arcangelo, now to grab the lead.
Bill Maracovo finds another gear and he'll win it.
Find your next star at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale, beginning Monday, September 11th.
The thrill of world-class racing is just beginning at Toronto's Woodbine Racetrack. Kick off the weekend's action now with racing each Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, beginning at 1:05 p.m. Eastern, with Thursday Twilight Racing being added on May 25th. With more than $64 million in purses this season, you'll enjoy world-class racing and training facilities with the top turf racing in North America over the prestigious E.P. Taylor Turf Course. You won't want to miss racing at Woodbine. For wagering updates, handicapping tips, racing news, and more, visit Woodbine.com.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
They're approaching the top of the stretch. The mile and 37 and 2 Conquistador Cielo has complete control of this field by about 5 lengths. Linkage on the outside, Hyacinth on the inside. Those two now heads apart. Gaining ground on the rail is Illuminate. On the outside, here comes Gato del Sol, but they're far back. Conquistador Cielo, complete control. This Belmont Stakes has the field by 15 lengths, maybe 20 lengths. Gato del Sol is second.
That was Marshall Cassidy on the call back in 1982. Conquistador Cielo winning the Belmont Stakes and becoming the first of 5 straight wins for trainer Woody Stevens in the Test of the Champion. He would win it again with Caveat, Swale, Creme Fresh, and Danzig Connection. Wow, 5 wins in a row for Woody Stevens, and rightly so. There is a Grade 1 race in his honor tomorrow at Belmont Park. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN, part of Rags to Riches Week, presented by Keeneland Sales. Before we get back to the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, news that came out this morning, but in case you didn't realize, training in New York resumes June 9th. Belmont Park to race. Laurel Park and Woodbine also announced a resumption of racing. With air quality dramatically improved in New York, training resumed at Saratoga Racecourse and Belmont Park June 9th at 8 a.m. Eastern Friday. Officials announced racing would take place as scheduled at Belmont in the afternoon. The track is 5 stakes Friday, including 3 Grade 1s. Among the horses to train Friday at Belmont included numerous entrants in the June 10th Belmont Stakes, the third leg of the Triple Crown and Belmont's most attended race. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. There's one website that's the industry's go-to site for racing, breeding, sales, and news. It's BloodHorse.com. From breaking news to race results, race replay videos, leading earner list, sire list, and so much more, you'll find it all at BloodHorse.com. The largest equine news site focused on owners and breeders with more than 5 million unique visitors a year, BloodHorse.com. And don't forget to check out BloodHorse Plus, offering exclusive content, including behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, weekly programs showcasing the industry's upcoming races, and recapping the recent stakes, and much more. It's Blood Horse Plus. And we kind of slough it off a little bit, Dave, but 24 hours, 36 hours ago, although we thought we were going to have racing at Belmont Park tomorrow, it was not a 100% guaranteed thing. Happy to report that the really poor air quality because of those wildfires that are sweeping across Canada really affected the northeast part of the United States on Wednesday and Thursday. Much better on Friday and supposed to be even better tomorrow.
Yeah, things have come together. They did lose one day of racing at Belmont Park, but great stakes card today and tomorrow even better, and that's why we're going through it and trying to find some winners.
All right, let's dive into the Grade 1 action, starting with the $500,000 Ogden Phipps, race 7 tomorrow. Fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th, which is one turn on the main track at Belmont Park. We've got a field of 6, and it's number 6, Clairiere, who's the 6-5 favorite.
Yeah, I've always been a big Clairiere fan, and I thought Clairiere was huge last time out in the Apple Blossom. Quite frankly, just looked beat. Did not look as though the run was going to come, and then when the run did come, didn't look like it was going to be enough. And they put on the afterburners and ran down Secret Oath at the wire last time. It was a tremendous win, and I think Clairiere just got really good middle of last year and has basically stayed in that form. 5-year-old daughter of Curlin for Steve Asmussen and Stone Street, and she is a tough customer every single time. Now, this is a race with only 6 horses, and that's been the problem with the Belmont Day over the last several years. You have high-end horses, but you have a lot of short fields, and that makes it a little bit hard to bet and kind of kills your wagering value. So you need to find some prices. You have to beat some of these favorites if you're going to hit the big one. Secret Oath obviously makes a ton of sense. Last 2 has run really, really tight against Clairiere, beat Clairiere 3 back. I thought the race that played hard ran last time out on the Oaks undercard to beat Secret Oath was really quite impressive. And you get 6-1 on the morning line with played hard. If you said to me, who is the value, who is the upset, that would be the one. I think Search Results is a classy horse who loves Belmont Park, finished third in that race against Play to Heart and Secret Oath last time out. I really liked Search Results in that spot. Didn't get the job done, but now this is second off a layoff and going to a surface that this Chad Brown Clarovich Stables mare likes a great deal. I picked Clairiere on top, but Play to Heart at 6-1 would be one I would need to seriously consider using in some manner or facet. Search Results and Secret Oath make sense too.
Okay, Clairiere won the race last year. She ran down Malathat and Search Results to win the Phipps. I'm going to try Search Results this year. It's her second start off a layoff. I might be just wishing things with her because I know I liked her a lot in the La Troyenne, and I thought she had a good trip, and she couldn't do any better than third behind Played Hard and Secret Oath that day. I think she's going to get the same kind of trip, stalking Played Hard, first to attack, having to hold off Secret Oath and Clairiere. I don't know. Maybe second start off the layoff. Maybe I'm just stubborn with Search Results. I think she's capable of better than what we saw in her last start. And if she runs her A race, I think she's good enough to be right there at a square price. By the way, our friends over at AmWager using Form to Win also have Search Results as their top choice. So I'm going with Search Results in the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps. Eighth race on the card is the Grade 1 Woody Stevens for the three-year-old sprinting 7 furlongs on the main track. Big field of 13 getting together for the Stevens. How'd you see it?
I think the morning line is interesting. This is one of a couple races we're going to talk about on the card where the morning line might give you the prices that the horses should be, but I do not think they give you the prices the horses are going to be. I think General Jim, who's 7-2 on the morning line, and Arabian Lion, who is 4-1 on the morning line, are going to be half that. I think General Jim's going to be, I don't know, 9-5, something like that. I think Arabian Lion's going to be 2-1, 5-2. That's not to say they can't be beaten, but General Jim's race on the Derby undercard in the Pat Day Mile was outstanding. This is an $850,000 son of Into Mischief, who just beat a couple of these horses last time out despite going very wide. Arabian Lion ran on the Preakness undercard. This is a $600,000 Baffert, son of Justify. And yeah, he was 2-5 at Pimlico, running against who knows how good a field, but visually was unbelievably impressive. And I thought the two back race and the Lexington finishing about half a length behind First Mission and well ahead of Disarm, I thought that was a pretty strong race for Arabian Lion, and I think 4-1 would be an enormous bargain. Now, there are a bunch of others that I think have a chance in here. Harrodsburg and Federal Judge are lightly raced horses that very, very well may have bright futures. They've run fast races in their two-race career. They're stepping up dramatically, but they've got a chance. Victory Formation for Brad Cox is second off and was the favorite against a bunch of horses that are running in the Belmont last time out in the Bathhouse Row at Oaklawn. Actually beat Angel of Empire and the Smarty Jones back in January, and at 10-1, I think is quite a good price. Baffert's got Fort Bragg in here, who's only won a maiden, but certainly has some quick races. But I think those two favorites, if you're going to give me 7-2 and 4-1, that's where I want to be. I chose Arabian Lion.
I chose Arabian Lion as well. Form to Win from our friends at AmWager have Arabian Lion on top as well. I don't know if he's going to get the right trip. I'm not sure he's a horse that wants to pass other horses, and there is other speed in this race, and maybe speed that's faster than him. So he may be forced to try to pass other horses or go faster early on than he really wants to. And if that's the case, then General Jim and some of the others who can pass runners are going to get the right trip. We didn't mention him. What do you do with number 13, Drew's Gold, who's undefeated 4-4 and been trouncing softer competition than what he's going to see tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Stretching out and jumping up in competition. Ran a really quick work on May 31st. I might try to get some insights on that workout, but not a particularly regally bred horse. I'm probably going to wait and see, but yeah, certainly is a possibility.
All right, so we both have Arabian Lion on top. I don't love him. I know you like him. You think that he and General Jim are the logicals, and like I said, our friends at Amwager using form to win have Arabian Lion as the top choice as well in the Woody Stevens. Ninth race tomorrow, the Grade 1 Jiper for three-year-olds and up, sprinting 6 furlongs on the turf. A big field of 14 coming together here, including the Mare Caravelle, who was last year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint champ.
Yeah, and there are questions about Caravelle in here, right? I mean, this is a 6-furlong race, and we see 4 consecutive wins for this mare, but they're all at 5.5 furlongs. Now, she's beaten the boys a couple times recently. Let me ask you this, Bobby, and maybe I am looking into this way, way more than needs to be. The plan for 3 months seemed to be they were going to Ascot. The horse came back as a 6-year-old to run at Ascot. They won the Shakertown. They won a kind of lesser stakes on Oaks Day, and then they were to go to Ascot. And then the plan changed, and now they're in the Jiper. Does that concern you in any way, shape, or form?
It would if the timing was different, because the races at Royal Ascot, I believe, are in a week and a half. So it's not like they weren't preparing her for races right around now. And listen, she was going to have to travel not halfway around the world, but a long way to go there. And I think they just sat and they figured, listen, the best chance of getting her back to the Breeders' Cup this year, if we want to run her the rest of the year, is to not send her somewhere out of the country where a lot of times it takes horses a little bit of time to get back and acclimated. And this, I don't know if that's the 100% accuracy with it. I just happen to think this is a pretty tough race that she's in. She certainly has a chance, but I'm going to try to beat her.
Yeah, I think she and Casa Creed are going to be pretty big favorites in here. I think Caravelle's going to be 9-5, and Casa Creed's going to be, I don't know, 7-2 or 3-1, something like that. On paper, they stand out. Casa Creed's won this race 2 years in a row, ran big in Saudi Arabia, but has had plenty of time off since that race. This is a horse that loves the track, likes the distance, makes a ton of sense. Lost to Caravelle in the Breeders' Cup. Caravelle is in absolutely terrific form. There's one other that I'm pretty high on. Number 10, Big Invasion. I would suggest to listeners you go back and watch the race on the Derby undercard. It doesn't say it in the comments. The stretch run for Big Invasion was troubled twice. He didn't have to stop, but he altered course on a couple of occasions. I don't think he was going to win that day, and I don't know how strong that race was, but I don't think Big Invasion had his best opportunity. And this is a 4-year-old that continues to get better, had some really good wins last year, and I think is kind of interesting. I chose Caravelle, but it's strictly on the price. If you give me 3-1 on that horse, I like her the best. If she goes off at 9-5 and Casa Creed is 9-2, I'm going to bet on Casa Creed because I think that's tremendous value on that horse. But those are the three I'm using: Casa Creed, Caravelle, and Big Invasion.
Yeah, I think there's enough speed in here that Casa Creed is going to come running. So it's not my forte, these turf sprints, but I like what I've seen from Casa Creed over the last year or so, and he seems to really love the turf course at Belmont Park. So I'm going to put him on top. Our friends over at Amwager using form to win are going to try to beat Caravelle with price runners Air Force Red, Nothing Better, and Front Run the Fed, 12-1, 8-1, and 30-1, respectively, morning line. So they must all be at least close enough figure-wise using form to win to try to beat the favorite Caravelle in tomorrow's Grade 1 Jiper. All right, that's enough for that segment. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we've got 3 more graded stakes at Belmont, including the Belmont Stakes. This is the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
There are plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park during the Royal Palm Meet with live racing Friday through Sunday and simulcast opportunities 7 days a week. Come out and enjoy the Summit of Speed, the Florida Sire Stakes Series, and a whole lot more. Watch the action from our Trackside Carousel Club, our Feast in Ten Ponds restaurant with an elevated view of the track. For stakes schedules, reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Racing fans, just 2 weekends remain in our current Hollywood meet at Santa Anita, so come join the fun before closing day, June 18th. Come early on Saturday, Belmont Stakes Day, as admission gates will open at 8 a.m. for a tremendous undercard that'll include the Grade 1 Met Mile from Belmont Park. First, live race post time for a 10-race card at Santa Anita is at 1 o'clock. And be sure to make plans to be with us for the 40th annual Breeders' Cup World Championships here at Santa Anita on November 3rd and 4th. Visit BreedersCup.com and make your reservations now. Our main event this Saturday is the Grade 2 Santa Margarita for fillies and mares at a mile and one-eighth, and our supporting feature at a mile and one-eighth on turf is the Grade 3 Honeymoon for three-year-old fillies. Fans, with the NBA Finals upon us, you can take a shot at a $10,000 prize pool in our Santa Anita Pick'em Contest, which mixes popular sports props each weekend, and $500 goes to the top winner each day. Santa Anita, it's the great race place.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
The pace is increasing as they come to the head of the stretch. It is still affirmed as they come to the quarter pole. He's holding on to a head lead. Alidar is outside of him and challenging that lead. The two are heads apart, and Alidar's got a lead. Alidar put a head in front, right in the middle of the stretch. It's Alidar and Affirmed battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Alidar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Alidar heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
That, of course, the stretch call of the 1978 edition of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, won, of course, by Affirmed as he defeated his rival Alidar once again on his way to the Triple Crown. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN, part of Rags to Riches Week, presented by Keeneland Sales. I'm Bobby Newman, along with Dave Friedman. Let's get back to the action at Belmont Park. 10th race tomorrow, Dave. One of the best races every year. It's the Grade 1 Met Mile. $1 million on the line. Three-year-olds and up going a one-turn mile at Belmont Park. No, Flightline is not in the race this year, but we've got a nice field of nine, a real strong field of nine, and a solid favorite in number one, Cody's Wish.
You talked earlier in the show about being stubborn with a horse. Well, I have been stubborn on Cody's Wish, and all I have done is tear up tickets. Cody's Wish has been spectacular. 8 out of 12, 5 consecutive wins, and it feels like they're getting easier and better. Now, Cody's Wish is 7-5 in here, and Cody's Wish, I believe, is facing far and away the best field that he has seen, and I'm going to pick against, but it's a price situation. It's one of those deals where Cody's Wish is really, really good and maybe should be a single and is going to be a single for plenty of people, but it seems to me high weight and facing horses that, quite frankly, he just hasn't seen yet. I need to see it proven to me once again, and it probably will result in me ripping up tickets once again. Dr. Skiffle at 10-1 on the morning line is a joke. The horse can go wire to wire. It is a stretch out, but this is a Grade 1 winner who's made over $1 million, is 6 of 11 lifetime, and I think is very, very viable in here, and anywhere close to 10-1 is a play. I think Zandon has an opportunity. 2 out of 10 lifetime, but in the money, 9 out of 10. Earned $1.5 million and has been right there with Taba and Epicenter and Mo Donegal and some of the best horses of last year, those three-year-olds from a year ago. Lone race this year, I didn't love it. off slow, went wide, but the bottom line, there was just no zip down the stretch. This is second off. It's second as a four-year-old. It's Chad Brown. I am expecting better. I wonder if Zandon wants longer distances. Repo Rocks beat Zandon easily last time. It was a career best performance, but Repo Rocks, since going into the Jamie Nest Barn, has been really, really good, winning 5 out of 6. I do think this is the best field Repo Rocks has faced. Charge It for Todd Pletcher is a course that I think has a big chance in here. Yeah, the last one doesn't look great. Go back and watch it. Wide on the first turn, rank, looked to me like was in a good spot down the stretch and clipped heels. I don't know that Charge It was going to win. In fact, I would suggest Charge It was not going to win, but I think was going to be better than he wound up. Fifth in a field of 7, beaten by 4.5 lengths, and that was against good horses, Proxy and Stiletto Boy, and that caliber. Likes Belmont, 2 for 4 at the distance. I think has a big chance in here. I think White Abario has a chance in here. Switching Barnes has been scratched a couple times recently. All of the wins are at Gulfstream, but boy, that last one in March was really, really good, and I think White Abario might have a better 4-year-old campaign than we saw as a 3-year-old and already a $1 million winner. I picked Charge It. I'm trying to beat Cody's wish. If I play this race in a horizontal, it'll probably be Cody's wish as an A, but I'm going to play a bunch of them behind and try to hit a price.
Okay, I'm going the other direction. I think Cody's wish is clearly the horse to beat in this spot. I know he doesn't get out of the gate very well, and he's breaking down on the rail. Listen, I think there's enough speed in the race that it doesn't matter. Slow Down Andy, Dr. Shivel, Hoist the Gold, Charge It, all want to be forwardly placed. Even Repo Rocks, I don't think, is going to be too far back. I think Cody's Wish is the best horse. The only other one I'm going to use is Zandon, just because I think that in general he's better than what he showed last time. I think Repo Rocks just freaked last time out, and there's a much better chance of Zandon running another big race than Repo Rocks. Maybe I'm wrong there too. But I'm using 1s and 6s with Cody's Wish as my top selection in the Met Mile. Race 11 tomorrow is the Grade 1 Manhattan for the 4-year-olds and up, going 1.25 miles on the turf, $750,000 on the line here. We've got a field of 10, and number 8 is up to the mark. He could not handle Shea Pierre in the Maker's Mark Mile, but when he's not running against Shea Pierre or Modern Games, he's winning.
Yep, he's won 3 out of the last 4, and they've all been relatively easy wins. And the win on Derby Day was not only a victory, it was a convincing one, a 3¾-length victory, a career-best performance. 8-5 on the morning line, though, boy, I am not convinced that Up to the Mark is the best horse in this field. Are you going to use him? Yeah, you're definitely going to use him. I think Ottoman's Fleet's pretty good. Ottoman's Fleet ran the same day as Up to the Mark, but ran at Belmont and won at Belmont. And I thought beat a pretty good field that day at even money. The race 2 back at Newmarket, I think, absolutely crushes this field. This is William Buick and Charlie Appleby. The lone loss we see in recent memory came against Nation's Pride. Now, there is a stablemate in here, Warren Point, who I am a little bit interested in. Warren Point, North American debut at Belmont in the Grade 1 Man of War on May 13th. Ran out of gas going 1.38 miles, first off a layoff, finished 5th in a field of 8, but had the lead with, I don't know, 1/8 of a mile or so to go. Didn't get out great that day. And Warren's Point was actually the favorite against Ottoman's Fleet way back in September in Great Britain. And I think Warren's Point at 5-1 is a little bit interesting. But I am going to bet that William Buick has chosen the better of the two Appleby horses. And if you give me 5-2, I'm unloading on Ottoman's Fleet.
Okay, I think you'll get 5-2 because I think that there'll be a solid money on Up to the Mark, who hasn't done anything wrong. I don't know how he's going to do going 1.25 miles, but he's looked very, very good just about every other distance he's run. He's already passed the Grade 1 test. I think he's the horse to beat. I'm going to put Up to the Mark on top. It's not a race I love, but I think he's a horse that's still improving, and they're in trouble if he improves off his last race. Up to the mark for me in the Grade 1 Manhattan. Featured race tomorrow at Belmont is the Belmont Stakes for the three-year-olds. Mile and a half on the main track. We've got a field of nine coming together. We did not get to see Forte run in this year's Kentucky Derby. He was never going to run in the Preakness unless he won the Derby. We are going to get to see him run tomorrow in the Belmont Stakes. He's one of nine in a very, very strong field.
How do you assess the morning line in this race?
I think the morning line is right in this race. I think that Forte will be favored, and I think that Angel of Empire, Tappet Trice, will vie for second choice, and even though National Treasure won the Preakness, I don't think he will be one of the top two or three choices.
Have you read or seen or talked to anyone this week that is picking Forte?
Yes, you're speaking to him right now.
Well,
I'm picking Forte. So I'll go first. By the way, I'd be remiss if I did not mention that our friends over at Amwager are using Form to Win, say in the Manhattan, that number five Soldier Rising at 12-1 is a horse that has a chance to be on the ticket. So sounds like it's a horse that they're going to use at a price, not necessarily that they have him on top, but a horse that's close enough in their ratings to say that he's got a shot and who they're going to use. Using Form to Win, the Amwager folks have their top three in the Belmont Stakes is National Treasure, Forte, and Arcangelo. I disagree with that. I loved National Treasure in the Preakness. I thought he was going to have a pace advantage over most of the field. He would either make the lead or stalk the Maryland bred in the race, make sure he had the lead around the far turn and hold everybody off. And to be honest, I didn't really think it was the strongest field we've ever seen in the Preakness Stakes. And the horse who almost beat National Treasure, Blazing Sevens, I really did not respect very much at all. I thought he was more of an allowance-type horse, even though he had done stuff in graded stakes. I didn't really consider him. So either I was just totally off on that, or National Treasure, you know, needed a perfect trip to hold off a field that was good, not great. This is a markedly stronger field. And even though National Treasure might get the lead by himself, I'm not sure if he can hold off these horses going a mile and a half like he held off those horses going a mile and 3/16. Forte was supposed to be favored in the Kentucky Derby. When we last saw him, he won the Florida Derby over Mage. He broke from the 11 hole, was further back than he ever wants to be, had everything against him, looked like he was having a terrible trip, and blew by Mage down the stretch to win by a length, and he would have won by more if the race was longer. So the race that it was all against him, he still somehow won. He was going to be the favorite in the Derby. He had a little bit of a bruise issue or something like that, and they had to scratch the day before. He's come back with solid works since. I know he hasn't run in 2.5 months, but he has worked six times in that time, and I would rather him come back working steadily off a longer layoff for a trainer that is very capable of getting horses ready off layoffs than coming back in a week and a half off a big effort. So I'm not as worried about that. I don't know if he can go a mile and a half. That's another question. He's by Violence out of a Blame mare. Damn Side, not too worried about. Violence, I don't generally think of as long-distance runners, maybe better sprinters and milers than anything else. But I think for a long time, Forte was the best three-year-old out there. And to be honest, there isn't anything I've seen from the horses he's running against tomorrow that make me think that they're better than he is. So I'm going to put Forte on top. And I think he's going to be 5-2.
I agree with everything you said. I don't know if Forte can go a mile and a half. I don't love 10 weeks off. The bottom line is this horse and Arabian Knight were the two it horses, whatever it was, 3-4 months ago. And Forte, and I get it. Some of the speed figures say that his best race was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And the last two efforts have not been quite as fast. But I would say that Mage flattered the Florida Derby, and he was marooned way out in the 11 hole, and he won the race. And not only do I think you're going to get 5-2, I have not heard a single person. You and I are the first two people that really like Forte in this race. I think you're going to get value here. I think you're going to get 5-2. I think you might get 3-1. I'm not convinced Forte is going to be the favorite. I'm hearing a lot of people that like Arcangelo, and the son of Arrogate ran a really good race in the Peter Pan. Forte has run six really good races, has won four grade one races. I respect the heck out of Angel of Empire. I thought only three horses ran well in the Kentucky Derby, and Angel of Empire was one of them, along with Mage and Two Fills. And I think Angel of Empire will like the extra distance and will run on. I get the Tappet thing. I understand that Tappet has had four Prodigy go on to win the Belmont Stakes. I think Tappet Trice has always looked like a Belmont horse, and I think Tappet Trice will run well in here. But until somebody beats Forte, I'm picking Forte, and I can't believe we're going to get 5-2.
All right, so probably to the dismay of everyone listening and to the disbelief, we are both picking Forte. And as you said, not too many other people that we speak to are picking Forte. They have knocks on him. They're nervous about him. Listen, we don't know until we know, and you don't know who's going to go. I don't care if Angel of Empire close like a banshee in every race, including the Kentucky Derby. You don't 100% know he's going to enjoy a mile and a half until he runs a mile and a half. Maybe he's just going to blow by everybody and win. Maybe Tappet Trice will get back to his winning form and win. There are several in here I think are capable, but like you, Dave, I'm going to put Forte on top in tomorrow's Belmont Stakes. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got more racing to look at. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Rags to Riches Week on HRRN. Presented by Keeneland Sales.
The spring meet returns to Churchill Downs now through July 3rd with 50 stakes races worth over $20 million during the spring meet. Racing doesn't end once Derby Week is over, as there is plenty of racing action throughout the meet, with maiden special weight races of $120,000 and allowance races ranging from $127,000 to $148,000. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit churchilldowns.com. Churchill Downs purses are powered by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund.
22 Keeneland Sales graduates have won the Belmont Stakes, with 11 since 2006, including undefeated Triple Crown winner Justify. Five Keeneland graduates are entered in this year's Test of the Champion.
Forte to win the FanDuel Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby.
Tappet Trice wins the Toyota Bluegrass.
And here is Arcangelo now to grab the lead.
Bill Maracolo finds another gear and he'll win it.
Find your next star at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale, beginning Monday, September 11th.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Secretariat. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
They turning for home. Lady's Secret leading it by a length and a half. Jonica trying to come after her at the rail. Don't Stop the Music coming on late. Lady's Secret reaches down deep again and finds more. Lady's Secret is just too good. Lady's Secret in a class of her own. George Velasquez riding a win here, Lady's Secret by three lengths at the wire.
Trevor Demon on the call. 1986, back then the grade one Santa Margarita, won by the great filly Lady's Secret. She would go on to win the Breeders' Cup Distaff that year, be crowned Eclipse Award champion older mare, as well as Horse of the Year, and inducted to the Hall of Fame 6 years later in 1992. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN, part of Rags to Riches Week, presented by Keeneland Sales. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. Belmont Park, not the only venue for great stakes action this weekend, Dave. Let's get out to Santa Anita, where this year's edition of the Santa Margarita takes place tomorrow. It's a grade two event now for fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth on the main track. Just a field of five, and both Adair Manor and Desert Dawn renew acquaintances tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, the field of five with the two logical horses, sort of like we talked about in a couple of those previous races, it just makes for tough wagering. Adair Manor's last two are terrific. I think I tried to beat Adare Manor last time out. It didn't go well. It was a grade two test, a field of five, and she ran him off the course. She's working quickly. It's a pricey Baffert. Makes all the sense in the world. It's 2-5. Desert Dawn is 5-2 on the morning line. The last two races, and they are against better, but they are not particularly good. She was 28-1. And finished fifth in a 10-horse field on the Oaks undercard, a grade one race. Race before that, grade one at Santa Anita. It was an 8-horse field. She finished in the middle of the pack, fourth at 10-1. Previous two races last year, both close seconds. And she's facing good horses, and she's certainly capable, but there just aren't a lot of wins. 2 out of 13, and what, 1 out of the last 10 of 11, something like that. I think Adare Manor might be controlling speed in here. I think Adare Manor is the most likely winner. I'm not playing Adare Manor at 2-5. And in fact, if Desert Dawn is 5-2 or 3-1 or something like that, I may dabble. I don't really see anyone else. Kirsten Botch, number 5, just not close to Adare Manor last time out and has never run quickly enough.
All right, I agree with you. I'm going to put Desert Dawn on top. I think she's been running against better fields than what she's going to see tomorrow. Adare Manor is the controlling speed. Maybe Desert Dawn can get by her once again like she did last year in the Santa Anita Oaks. And at the price, I think she's the right play. By the way, reminder everyone, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus just for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then bet, or rather, deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win, what we've been talking about them a lot. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. So go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. Other great at stake tomorrow at Santa Anita, Dave, is the Grade 3 Honeymoon for the 3-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth on the turf. We've got a field of 8 in this race, and slight favorite on the morning line is number 6, Paris Secret.
Yeah, I had difficulty with this, and I thought Paris Secret was going to be a heavier favorite. Only horse in the race with a graded stakes win. Top Fig last time out. I believe is the only horse in here with a win at the distance, if I'm not mistaken. And beat a bunch of these horses last time out. Now, lost to a bunch of these horses 2 back, but had pretty bad luck in that race. Had nowhere to go down the stretch. I like Paris Secret at 5-2. I think it might be closer to 3-2. And at that number, I would be looking around at some options. Comanche Country, number 2, has never run really the really quick race, but is a pretty consistent runner, the stablemate of Paris Secret. And I think coming out of a better race, maybe at Churchill, didn't run great in that race, but might have an opportunity in here. Pleasant Wave, number 3, was keyed up last time. Second off would absolutely need the best, but I think second off the layoff, that's a possibility in here. I think the price 6-1 on Pleasant Wave is intriguing. I think the price on number 7, Fast and Shiny, is really nice at 8-1. I thought this horse might be closer to 4-1, and I know running primarily in sprints, and now this is a mile and an eighth route, but fits nicely. It's Baffert and, has some speed in there. I picked Paris Secret, but I have no strong opinion.
Yeah, I don't love the ones that have been running in California, so I'm going a little bit off the map with number 4, Selenaya. I know she's been facing what technically are weaker fields at the Meadowlands and Horseshoe Indianapolis, but I like the way she's run in her 2 turf starts, and I think Jonathan Thomas does just fine with these shipping types. In fact, he wins about a quarter of the time when he's sending horses to other parts of the country. And to me, it looks like if Selenaya runs the same race tomorrow that she did last time out in Indiana. She's going to have a big chance, and she's 3-1 on the morning line. She's my pick in the honeymoon. Final race we're going to talk about is the Sunday feature at Ellis Park. It was supposed to be at Churchill Downs, now at Ellis Park, and it's the Grade 3 Matt Wynn for the 3-year-olds going a mile and an eighth. Field of seven, four of the seven runners, Dave, ran in this year's Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and of those four, Verifying was the one that got bet the most, was about 14-1. But Disarm was the run that ran the best. I actually thought Disarm ran a pretty good race, finishing fourth, beaten only by 4.5 lengths. I certainly was not on Disarm in the Derby coming off that Lexington Stakes. But boy, I liked First Mission in the Preakness, who then got scratched. And Arabian Lion absolutely flattered that Lexington. And then Disarm ran well in the Derby. Interesting, very interesting. Verifying is cutting back. I never really thought Verifying wanted really long races. I'm not sure Verifying wants a mile and an eighth. But I like him in this spot. I think he's got tactical speed. He's a pricey Brad Cox, cutting back. I think he's got a big chance. Go Soldiers Go for Todd Pletcher is a little bit interesting. If you like Arcangelo in the Belmont, I think you should at least look a second time at Go Soldiers Go, and I think there might be some value there. It's also possible, Bobby, that Bo Cruz could be loose on the lead. I picked Verifying. I think he'll sit a perfect trip just off the pace. But I like Disarm quite a bit. And it's a pretty, for not on the Belmont undercard for a Grade 3 that got moved from Churchill to Ellis, it's really quite a race.
Yeah, I picked Disarm. Maybe it's just easy, the fact that I thought he came out of the best last race. I think he's going to sit the right trip. I like the fact that he's had a little bit more time races. They kind of threw that Lexington race in there to try to get him enough points to run in the Derby. And then he actually ran a better race than I think a lot of people expected in the Kentucky Derby. This looks like a much better spot for him, and a repeat of either of his last few races, I think, make him the one to beat in the Matt Wynn. That's 12 races, Dave. Time now for the Am Wager Best Bets.
The Am Wager Best Bet. Best Bet.
Take it away, my friend.
It's the Manhattan at Belmont Park on the Belmont Stakes undercard. I think Ottoman's Fleet's the best horse in here. I think if you take any of the recent races, particularly the one at Newmarket or the ones in Dubai, I think those races are better. And I respect Up the Mark and I like Up the Mark, but I think the morning line is wrong. I do not think Up to the Mark should be the favorite. I certainly don't think Up to the Mark should be 8-5. And if you're going to give me 5-2 on Ottoman's Fleet, I'm very happy to take it.
All right, Ottoman Fleet, second choice on the morning line. Dave's best bet in the Grade 1 Manhattan. I'm not going to be nearly as venturous as you. I just think Shea Pierre is going to win. And I know he's even money on the morning line. I don't think he's going to be much lower than even money just because he's trained by Arnaud Delacour and ridden by Flavien Prat. It's not Chad Brown. It's not Bob Baffert. It's not Todd Pletcher. It's not Brad Cox. It's not Irad Ortiz or Jose Ortiz or people like that. Now, nothing against Arnaud Delacour and Flavien Prat. They are great at what they do, and they win a whole lot of races, but it'll probably give us one tick or two higher than maybe they should be on Shea Pierre. And in my mind, anything close to his last race wins, and wins easily in the poker race 5 tomorrow at Belmont Park. Folks, tomorrow morning, a huge addition of the Equine Forum here on the network as our good friend Mike Penna wraps up Rags to Riches Week, rather, presented by Keeneland Sales, with a look back at her brilliant career with Hall of Fame trainer Todd Pletcher and Keeneland Sales announcer and our good friend Kurt Becker. Naira and Fox Sports analyst Acacia Courtney previews the Belmont Stakes and the undercard races. Trainer Jenna Annanucci discusses her Peter Pan winner Arcangelo. Plus, they go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with trainer Phil Bauer, who sends out Played Hard in tomorrow's Grade 1 Ogden Phipps. Vance Hansen provides this week's triple play. Kurt Becker takes you on his stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin debate the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. We recognize another unsung hero presented by Woodbine Entertainment. I don't know how they can get it all done in 3 hours tomorrow. We're going to be a fantastic edition of the Equine Forum from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Sirius 216, XM 204, and online at horseracingradio.net. And, of course, the Equine Forum can be heard every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on HRRN. Dave, we have been waiting a long time to get through this Triple Crown season. It has been a strange Triple Crown season, as they seem like they always are, but we have got a fantastic field for the third leg of Racing's Triple Crown tomorrow, and a whole lot of great supporting cast races on the card. I am excited, my friend.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's a great day of racing. There are superstars. Hopefully there are a wagering opportunity or two that you really like. Let me ask you this, with just a few seconds left to go in the show. Do you think the Triple Crown needs to be changed in any way?
No. Please, no. Please, no. No, don't change surfaces, don't change distances, don't change time between races. Listen, I understand that you're trying to get the best horses in the races. It's the Triple Crown. I think the tracks like it the way it is. You get a great field for the Derby almost every year. You get the Derby winner running in the Preakness, and then you get a whole bunch of new shooters in that race as well as in the Belmont Stakes. Please don't change it.
Very good. I would like to see them put more money into the Preakness, kind of like incentivize people to run. Other than that, I'm with you. Keep it the same.
All right. For our producer, Lee Della Pina, my co-host, Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Thank you so much for joining us on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. Have a fantastic Belmont Stakes Day, everyone. Good luck.